Greet you all in the name of Jesus here this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and hear your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us and that we'd be able to learn what you would have to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was thinking about what to speak on, my wife mentioned a song that talks about blessing. And I thought about the word bless, and maybe it's a little bit like the word pride. We use it a lot, and we don't actually ever stop to think what it means. I thought we could just kind of dig into that word bless, and blessed, blessing. So we use it a lot. You might be on the phone with somebody, and they might wish you have a blessed day. Which I really appreciate that. Here's somebody far away maybe, and they're wishing you a blessed day. It might be more common different parts of the world to, instead of having a good day, you wish somebody a blessed day. And then when we come to church, we say things like, God bless you, brother. Another way we use it. Or we could say, the church service was a blessing. We could even bless God for answered prayer. So it's us actually saying bless God. We could say something like, this year we hope to be blessed with a bountiful harvest, or we hope to be blessed with rain. So we're talking about blessing there. And then there's lots of blessings around us out in the world too, or lots of people using the word blessing at least. There was something years ago called the Toronto Blessing, which was like a charismatic type movement where people felt like there was something that happened and that there was, like a movement or something. We know that our Catholic friends do a lot of blessing. They might have some holy water or a priest come and do a rite, and it blesses things. There's could be blessings on people, blessings on certain places that are supposed to be sanctified for God to use, blessings on even material things, on buildings, a piece of machinery like a ship or something that's going to convey people that they would actually physically bless. And it raises a lot of questions, all these uses of the word blessing. Do we actually have the power to make another person be blessed? Is this some sort of a supernatural thing that we can just speak the words and all of a sudden you weren't blessed and now you're blessed? And This is great. Let's do this more often. Another definition for the word of blessing is bestow goodness. So can we somehow take goodness and bestow that on another? It seems like when people are using the word blessing, they are acknowledging that there is some interdependence on others, because when there is a blessing, there's somebody that's doing the blessing, and then there's somebody that's receiving it. So you're kind of saying that, I acknowledge you, and I wish you good, or I wish good things to happen to you. So it is good in that way, when it's used, that we're saying that we're dependent on other people. When we speak blessings, that means we are not saying negative things. We're not speaking cursings. And the Bible does speak about those who follow God and follow his commandments, and that that you'll be blessed in all these situations, and that if you leave God and forsake him, then you'll be cursed. But that makes us really, really pray for the blessings. You could ask, well, what about some negativity? Sometimes we do have to be negative, and the Bible has a balance of that. The Bible has a balance of of blessings, and also pointing out faults or things that might go wrong, or that we might do wrong. So when we look at the word bless, it in the Hebrew, one of the words, and I don't know Hebrew, so if you're a Hebrew scholar, please forgive me if I mispronounce this or misdefine this, but the one word is Baruch, which would mean blessed, and I believe that's also part of the Shema, the prayer that the Hebrew people would pray, and it can be translated to praise or even to kneel. Now, all the different ways we use blessing, the dictionary had a lot of different ones. So the one way is we can make something that wasn't holy, we can take that thing and set it apart or consecrate it. So we're taking something that wasn't holy and we're setting it apart. It can also mean to make happy, blissome, joyous, confer prosperity or happiness upon, to grant divine favor to. It could be praying or wishing that on someone. It could also mean that we are conferring a blessing on or conferring beneficial attributes on something, just like we would bless food. So we would be making the food more, hopefully more safer to eat, perhaps. Some people would go as far as, you know, certain rituals that confer blessing, like our Catholic friends would do the sign of the cross, right? And they're saying they're blessing themselves when they do the sign of the cross. And it can mean to praise, to glorify. It could be a special favor. It could be, for instance, a father's blessing on someone. Or it can even be the word for the prayer at the meal. So it can be a blessing on the meal. Or perhaps it's something that needs approval. So it could just simply mean approval. So it could be like the blessing of someone, you know, on something that's going to happen. So there's so many different meanings for it. So how do we keep them all straight? Because we definitely want God's blessing on us, and we want others to be blessed as well. First of all, you know, we have the thought of speaking blessings. Do our words actually have, you know, the power to bless others? Does God give us that ability? So in Luke chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, Jesus tells his disciples, "But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you." So that is kind of like making a preparation to enter a house. And this is, I believe, when the disciples were going out to preach. Now, what I found interesting here is that there's a condition. It says, "And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it." So it seems like for there to be blessing, there is like the condition that God must already be there and must already be blessing the place. Aaron and his sons, an Aaronic blessing, which we'll get to a little bit later. It says there, "The Lord bless you and keep you," and not me or myself blessing and keeping you, but God. So I had to think about it. It's like we know traditionally when we greet each other, we often say, "The Lord bless you," you know, and we can shorten that sometimes, but I think that is probably a better blessing to give someone, but instead of just saying, you know, "Bless you," or "May you be blessed," just say that the Lord, ask that the Lord would bless the person. And I think our words do have a lot of power to bless. And maybe I'll let it up to you to how, like, there is some teaching about the power of the spoken blessing. And I'll let you take that as far as you feel you want to personally, but I would say that we probably don't speak blessings to each other enough. I know part of that teaching is to make sure you bless your children and call out their good points and to let them know that they please you. So I think those are all things we could do. I wonder how often we think of our brethren and think of the way they contribute, and that we bless them for that. And along with the pride teaching this morning, maybe we're afraid if we say too much about how we appreciate them, that we'll tempt them to pride. But I think there is a part to speak blessing and say, you know, Lord bless you in that. And then also the part of speaking blessings to each other would be if someone's struggling or has a need, that we pray that the Lord would fill their life with blessings in that area as well. Then we also think of blessings as material things. That's, of course, really easy to identify. Thanksgiving time comes, and we have the table filled with the turkey and stuffing and all the fixings, and we say, thank you, Lord, for all these blessings that you have given us, for the harvest, for all these things. And we do need to be thankful for those things, because, you know, many people in the world don't have those. But it is just one definition of the word for blessings. And we know, and there was, I'm sure some of you are familiar with the prayer of Jabez, where he prayed and said, Lord, would you enlarge my borders? Give me more land and just bless me, make my life really, really prosperous. And it says that, his mother bore him in pain, and she must have really instilled in him something about, like, well, just stay away from pain and evil and unpleasantness. So that's what he prayed, and it says the Lord granted it to him. So that would be an example of material blessing, especially in the Old Testament. But then we also have an example where the word blessings actually kind of mixes the physical and the spiritual together. For instance, in Luke 68:31, it says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish others would do to you, do so to them. So there it says, not only are we supposed to bless those who are hurting us or persecuting us, we're also supposed to pray for them. So it's a spiritual thing. But then we're also supposed to do physical things, like turn the other cheek. Should we physically give a cloak? Give a physical cloak. So it's like the blessings are both being done physically and spiritually. And then as we think of, you know, our example of God our Father blessing us, Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to him that ask him? So we know how to give physical gifts to our children. You know, if our child, I mean, all dads, you know, I would think if your son said, I'm hungry, or I'm thirsty, or I need food, you know, I don't know how many dads know how to cook, so you might have a little bit of trouble there, but you would find some food. You know, maybe in the old days you would go out and try and get some game or something. Today you would make sure, yeah, you have a job and can buy some groceries. But either way, you would take care of your child. And it's saying that if we need the spiritual gifts, like the good gifts from the Father, that that all we need to do is ask him, and he will give us the Holy Spirit. so we see that, yeah, we see the spiritual blessings there. And then we have the whole idea of blessing God, which some of you might have heard that phrase already. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes we say it more casually. Maybe we say, you know, bless God, that was a good service, or something like that. And I got to think, what gives us the authority to bless God? So this is about bestowing good, right? And like, we don't believe that we have a whole lot of good to give God, right? So how do we give God good? I'd like to read an article about that I thought was summed it up really well, about why we can bless God. So let me just go ahead and read that here. It's by John Piper. It was written in 1978, which was the year I was born, a long time ago. So it says, what does it mean to bless God? My thesis is that in the scripture, when God blesses men, they are thereby helped and strengthened and made better off than they were before. But when men bless God, he is not helped or strengthened or made better off. Rather, and he quotes C.A. Keller, man's blessing God is an expression of praising thankfulness. Says some German here. I don't know if anybody knows German. Ein lobendes Danksagen. When the Old Testament speaks of blessing God, it does not designate a process that aims at the increase of God's strength. It is an exclamation of gratitude and admiration. That is not at all a strange semantic phenomenon. If God is the primal and inexhaustible blesser, then he must be above all others in a blessed state, the fullness and source of all blessing. If this is so, then a most natural burst of praise would be, you are blessed. That this recognition and joyful exclamation of God's blessedness should then be described as blessing God is not unusual. Other analogies, though not exact, would be our expressions like, I magnify the Lord, or let us exalt his name. Both of these expressions properly recognize and give joyful expression to God's magnificence and his exalted status. They do not mean that we make God larger or higher. So to bless God means to recognize his great riches, strength and gracious bounty, and to express our gratitude and delight in seeing and experiencing it. So, as Art was saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. So when we're blessing the Lord, it's definitely biblical to bless the Lord. But what we're really saying is praise and honor and magnify. We magnify your name, O Lord. We're saying you are the source of all the blessings. You are blessed. You are the foundation of blessing, the fullness of blessing. You have all blessings, and all blessings come from you. So we're kind of turning that a little bit, and as phrases go, they can take on new meanings over the years, and I think that's how we get to from saying you are blessed to bless the Lord. So I found that intriguing, and I had a new appreciation for that phrase, bless God, bless the Lord, from that. So it's like a message of adoration. Psalm 31:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then some more about blessings. We have the fact that God blesses us, so we bless each other. We speak spoken blessings. We give physical gifts to each other. We bless each other with our words. We bless God, and God also blesses us and gives us spiritual blessings. And First Timothy 6:17-19 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves as a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." The phrase there that stuck out to me is, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And I always looked at that verse when we think about those who, I don't know, would like to say that certain colors are more righteous or appropriate than others, and so on. And when you know, think about like the beautiful flowers, they're all different colors, yellow, red. We can appreciate all those things. I'm not saying that we need to use colors inappropriately, but I think God, when he created the world, has given us all those things to enjoy. And, you know, we can appreciate that. We don't have to feel like, oh, this is too beautiful or too wonderful, I can't enjoy it. But we can accept those things that he gives us with thanksgiving. So there's many physical blessings that he gives us. He also tells us not to worry or be anxious. And I think a lot of us can always worry about tomorrow or what's going to happen next month. What will the economy do? What will my job do? Will I get enough business leads coming in so that I have enough work to do in the coming year? We just have 3 days of dryness out there, right? And then everyone is like, the earth is going to just dry up and burn up, and we're all going to be toast, literally, I guess. But Matthew 6:25-34, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that ye need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." So God provides for his creatures in the world and gives things to all of us. And therefore, we should not be anxious, but we should trust him and live one day at a time. And then, along the line of spiritual blessings, we have the verse comes to mind in Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we have all kinds of spiritual blessings. We have, forgiveness of sins. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the fellowship of the believers. Those things could elaborate on those much more as well. There would be some controversial things that come up with blessings that we could look at. What happens when an unbeliever pronounces a blessing? And I don't know the answer. I would say whatever good is in that blessing will probably benefit someone. For example, if they're on the phone with you and they wish you a blessed day, that'll probably help end the call and make you feel a little happier. Will it actually make sure that you have a blessed day that day? I can't guarantee that because, you know, after all, this person may not or does not know the Lord, and so therefore can't necessarily pronounce a blessing on you. What about the words? What if it's used in a meaningless way? For example, we have the habit or the tradition of when someone sneezes, we say "bless you," and the history of that is sort of disputed. The thought was that during the bubonic plague, sneeze was a sign of sickness, and that the Pope was encouraging people to everyone, make sure you bless each other as much as possible so this thing doesn't spread. That story has been disputed. There's also the thought that, well, when you sneeze, your spirit leaves you, and that we need to bless you in order to retrieve your spirit again. That is also something that, is not true, but is it a good opportunity to wish blessing on people anyway? I know we all need be blessed, but it can become something meaningless and something that doesn't bless. Is everyone on earth blessed of God? Well, we do know that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. So I think we do all experience God's blessings to some degree. So I don't think we can limit the blessings just to the believers, but I feel like to be truly blessed, we need to be believers, and especially to receive the spiritual blessings. Now, how about the thought about blessing a meal? It was interesting to try and look that up in the Bible. I was like, okay, where in the Bible do we see the meal being blessed? And it seems like the idea of praying before a meal is seen throughout the Bible. I don't know if it was ever said that, every time you eat, you must pray. However, we definitely have the example of people praying throughout the Bible. The one example is Jesus, when he fed the 5,000. It says Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up toward heaven and blessed them. And then he also, I don't have it here, but he also would have, I believe it said in one of the versions that he prayed to his Father. So it was an example of Jesus blessing the food. So it's kind of the thought of thanksgiving, that when we're praying, we're saying, Lord, we are grateful, we're thankful for this meal and this food that you've given to us. So that, that's one aspect. The other aspect is in Mark, it says about that, the believers will be able to handle snakes safely. They'll be able to drink poison that won't hurt them. They'll place their hands on the sick and they'll be healed. And so I think the thought there is that if there's anything wrong with the food or bad with the food, that you're blessing it. You're asking the Lord to make the food to be good. So I think it kind of is a dual purpose thing. So I think it definitely is a good practice to pray before meals, especially since we have Jesus' example. I believe Paul also prayed before he took bread. I think it was on one of the shipwrecks there as well. So we have several examples. Now, the Bible gives us several examples. We talked about God this morning when he was satisfied with creation. He looked and it was good. He also blessed his creation. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God blesses creation. He bestowed that extra good onto his creation. Now, Genesis later on, we have the blessing of the father, where Rebecca called to Jacob and said, "No, Jacob, you go in to Isaac and pretend to be Esau." And Jacob says, "Well, I don't have hairy arms like Esau does. What am I going to do?" "Well, wear some animal skin." And then Jacob actually got the blessing of Isaac. And that was, I had to look at that and what the blessing was. Let me go ahead and read it here. He says, "And blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be to everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." So it was actually Jacob was receiving a prophetic blessing that Isaac was giving him, and it was actually foretelling the future. So it was very interesting type of blessing there. And then we have the Aaronic blessing, Numbers 6, 22 to 27. It said, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus shall you bless the people of Israel. Ye shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." And that's once again, that verse there would imply that there is definitely power in when we bless each other in the congregation. Because what God is saying is, "So shall I put my name upon the people of Israel." What he's saying is, if you do this, I will bless the people. I think there's definitely power in making sure that we bless each other. And the key there, once again, I think, is where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face. Not me, not the sons of Aaron, not you and I, but that the Lord is doing the blessing. Blessings. We also see blessings several books of the Bible. We have the benediction in Jude 1, and there's several different ones that can be used. Here's one from Jude 1, 24 and 25. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." And then also Hebrews 13, 20, 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So I just wanted to open it up here and see if you had any thoughts about blessings. There's a couple things there that, how do you all feel about speaking blessings to each other? How much power do you think is in that?
I have thought about it quite a bit. Now, most people that fall over a ship in the ocean, it doesn't end up well with them. But God sent a fish. And so in that phrase, I would say that Jonah was a blessed man, because God did something specifically for Jonah. Okay, now most of you men in this room, the married men, says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and favor of the Lord." Favor is another word for blessing. God is going to take special note in providing. That's how I use the word blessing. Blessing is something, so when we sing, may the Lord bless you, that is kind of another way of saying, may the wind be on your back. I'm saying, God, that's what blessing means to me. It's not just an ambiguous pleasantry. And when they went out to battle, and God was with them in the battle, but then he had withdrew because sin in the camp, and they said, there's something wrong here. We don't have, the Lord is not on our side. So there is most people on the earth, I actually believe, live outside of God's blessing. They have God's provision. It rains on the just and the unjust. But if you're walking with the Lord and you have his blessing, or you invoke a blessing on someone else, like when he did his sons, he blessed the one, and the other one was distraught because the blessing was given. And so it adds to the provision in your life. So I struggle when I tell people, you know, I'm blessed with a number of Suburbans, I just think that's just not a blessing necessarily at all. That's just the reality. You know what I'm saying? The fact that I have 2 feet, I don't think of that as an actual blessing from God. This is how life works. Water is heavier than air. But if I have, but when that cripple was made whole in the Bible, that was a blessing. I don't just evoke blessing everywhere. I don't say it's a blessing, I have this button. It came that way, man. And I don't like the shirt, I'm getting rid of it. But, so I'm careful how I use the term blessing. To request the powers of heaven to step in and do something. Franz, thanks for sharing me. The Lord bless you. That means send a fish when you need one. That's how I take blessing. To me, it's not an ambiguous phrase. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where I come from. I think I might be on something.
The thought occurs to me that Jonah probably didn't see the fish as a blessing.
No, he didn't. He didn't. You're right.
That's right. We might not realize we're being blessed. Go ahead.
And I think God gave us the power to bless. It says that in the tongue there is the blessing and cursing. So it's not something that comes from us. It's something that God gave us. And I think it's stronger when we say in his name, like God bless you, or if we say, we do it something in, because if we say God bless you, or if we say, I bless you in Jesus' name, or also, God also gave us the authority to use his name. So if we say something in his name, that's also something that has power there. And also cursing, like we don't want to do cursing. But if people curse, that's also something that is not good. And it could be a reality in the spiritual realm. There is satanic people who curse people. And we see the prophet in the Bible who this man wanted to, well, regardless if he was a godly prophet or a false prophet, but the man who wanted to curse Israel. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to pay him money so he can curse them. And they believe that if he did curse them, they were going to be cursed. And he goes and asks God if he can do it. God says, no, you can't, because they are blessed. So there's also the thing where Elisha, he was going up a hill, and there was a young man making fun of him, saying bald and all kinds of names. And it says he cursed him in the name of God. Cursed him in the name of God. That's in the name of the Lord. And then these bears come and eat the young men. So it's a dangerous thing, I guess, to be using, to be cursing or to people and stuff. Like, that is a spiritual, it is real. It is real, what happens when people curse. Now, the good thing about us having the Lord is that he also gave us the ability to bless. So if someone wants to curse us, we can bless, and that overrides the curse. But Yeah, I was just thinking about that. That God did give us things, blessings. He gave us also He let us use His name. In My name, you will cast out devils. You will speak with these languages, and you're gonna. If you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. These things like that. So He gave us a lot of things, and I guess we don't know the magnitude of them, and many times we don't use them. But Yes, that's all I wanted to say.
We could say that a blessing, at least when we're giving a spiritual blessing to someone else, we're basically giving a prayer. We're saying, you know, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you.
That. Comes to her door, she said, God bless you. And I was like, why? She said, well, the blessing of the Lord isn't always good. She said, if this person is not walking with God, she said, well, God bless you. She said, he might go out and have an accident, end up in the hospital, and hopefully he'll see the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was a new twist to my box. And so there's nothing wrong with blessing people, but you know, in for God's glory, we want them to be blessed.
That's an interesting quote. I know I've heard that too, that the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons come to your door, is like, well, you want to say, well, God bless, and they're like, oh yeah, I shouldn't wish them Godspeed, right? So, yeah.
I understand. But, that's an interesting point.
But then God's blessing may be more than we credit it for. Go ahead, Vlad. Yeah.
Well, it sort of ties in several thoughts, like where the prayer can't avail of much. So when you're saying God bless you, you're basically praying to God bless. You're asking God to bless them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're blessing yourself. And there's also the verse that says, only the greater can bless the lesser. It's not the exact words there, but I'm saying about like the greater person can bless the lesser. Like you can't, if someone's above you, you can't bless them. Something like a practical example of blessing someone is bringing someone a meal. That is a physical act of blessing them.
That's a physical act.
So we can bless people with things that we give, but as far as what we consider, like, I think, yeah, sad to say, we usually think of blessing as more of a metaphorical term or something.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's not really. We're doing it actually. We're asking God to bless you, or we're blessing with something physical.
That's right.
Yeah, it sounds like we could definitely practice that more, giving people, you know, what I'm terming spiritual blessings. We're giving a prayer, but then also not forget the physical things, like making sure we're bringing a meal or making sure we're speaking the kind word. And I think, yeah, there's a number of different facets to that. Anyone else?
Read there in Jude, I remember the boy, the bishop, ending his prayer this way. And I remember as a young Christian in the middle of a difficult situation, and where he says that God would present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And I remember that stood out to me, faultless, and I was tend to be more detail oriented and was struggling with some of the things he struggled with as a youth, and that just meant a lot. And when he did it again and again, and even today when that verse is read, I think of that blessing that was given. And so to your point about power in blessing, there truly is. Now I think one of the things that unlocks that power is when we speak of blessing in truth, meaning we're not flattering, we're speaking something in truth, and we have aligned ourselves with the blessing God wants to give. I think that is part of what takes it from a casual statement to a statement that has strength, is to understand who God is and what God desires to do, and align ourselves that we can become the channel through which that blessing can go out to someone else. I also appreciated your thought in regards to giving God a blessing. Right now, there's a paper laying on our table at home. Our granddaughter, who is, get her 20 months, scribbled on a piece of paper. Just all it is, just scribbles. But it means a lot to me as a grandfather looking at that and knowing she wrote on that. And I think of that when I think of coming back to God. God knows where we are in our journey, and when we give something back to God in appreciation, it may just be scribbles as far as looking at it. But just as I appreciate that, I think God is so much greater yet. I think of another note I have in my drawer from one of my girls when they were little. It said, "I love you" on it, and it was crooked, the I was up, the love was down over, and the U was, you know, all three words were clearly there, but not written orderly at all, and the sticker of the time is down at the bottom. Well, that means a lot to me, not because of its perfection, but because of where they were in life and the love they were expressing. And God understands those things so well, and I bless the Lord for that.
All right, well, thank you all for your attention, and pray that the Lord would bless each of you this week.